Looking for a great math program? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective by using creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Here's a great testimonial from Lori, one of the many listeners of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. She said, "One day, my 10-year-old was in tears over math. I tried my best to help, but ended up in tears as well. We prayed together, and that very night, I received an email offer for CTC Math. The following Monday, we reviewed the curriculum together. She was willing to give it a shot, and we have never looked back." Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back with Abinella and Heidi St. John. If you missed our episode on Monday, please go back and listen to that and share it with your friends. We are talking about public schools and what's going on in the public school system right now and why you need to get your kids out now. Now is the time, parents. It is time to take your kids out. And we're talking about the reasons why. And you know, I know it's one of those topics that parents don't want to hear, especially Christian parents, because they have so many reasons often why they think their kids should be in the public school system. And one of those reasons, of course, that we hear over and over and over again is our kids are salt and light. We need our kids in the public school system because we need them to be salt and light in a very, very dark world. And Heidi, I know you have addressed this so many times, but for those who maybe haven't heard why we need to not have our kids in the system as salt and light, what do you say to that parent?
Well, I think that the argument that says that our kids are supposed to be salt and light in the schools denies the reality of how fierce the battle is, of how fierce the fighting is. I think that it's a misunderstanding of the front line. Mm-hmm. And education is the front line. Education is the front line. So you would never, I'm always telling parents, you would never, if you knew that there was an actual war happening, you know, or like swords and guns and weapons and spears and, you know, and just brutality, you would never give your five-year-old a sack lunch and send them on a shuttle bus to the front lines. You would never do that. And yet that's what we're doing. We're giving our kids a sack lunch. We're patting them on the head. We're saying, have a great day at school, which is the front lines. And we're sending them off to war. This is no place for children. Right. It's just no place for children. I said the other day, I don't know whose radio show I was on, but I was talking about the same thing. And I was saying, listen, if we knew now what has the Rona taught us? The Rona has taught us that we are afraid.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We're afraid of a virus with a 99.9% survival. We can be scared out of our minds, right? If you knew that there was a pandemic, and I'm talking about a real one, I'm not talking about the Rona. I'm talking about a real pandemic where like people are actually dying in the streets and dying on their way to work and dying in the bathroom at their home. If you knew that that was at your school, would you send your kid to school?
No way.
You would keep your kid home. And I'm telling parents trying to shout from the rooftops, the pandemic that's in our public schools is worse than any physical pandemic would ever be because the stakes are eternal. They're not physical.
That's right.
They're eternal. This is a pandemic that is literally eating away, attacking the hearts and minds of our children. And yet we see our parents, you know, just like, oh, my kid will be fine. Oh, she's a cheerleader. Oh, she wants to run for student government. Oh, my child's so talented. And these kids come out and their minds are warped and their hearts are lost. And it takes a generation to find them again, if we can even find them. And I'm always telling parents, this is not the place. Your children were never meant to be salt and light. When that command is not given to children, it is given to adults. And we need salt and light in schools. I could not agree with that more. I'm here to say I don't think that the role for salt and light is children. And frankly, it seems to me a little bit cowardly on the part of the parent who refuses to be the salt and light themselves and instead says, oh, that's the job for my 9-year-old son.
Right.
Your 9-year-old son who's not equipped for the battle and doesn't understand what kind of shoes he needs to wear and doesn't understand how to hold his sword and his shield's too heavy to hold up? No. This is not a battle for children. It is, actually, amazingly, in Washington State, when we went to pass the comprehensive sex education bill, we testified about this in the state legislature, and the FTC banned our speech because what we were reading wasn't suitable for the airwaves.
Wow.
But this is what we were reading. We were reading out of the curriculum, and the FTC took it off the air.
What?
Listen, like, when... And it's amazing to me, you know, these legislators, these cockamamie, you know, arrogant beyond belief legislators who believe that they know better than parents do what children should hear. Mm-hmm. Once you realize that this is the heart behind the people that are wanting to indoctrinate your kids, yeah. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for them to, what are we waiting for? Right. It's like it's a blindness. And so the salt and light argument, it actually makes me laugh. It's like the,
it's socialization like argument. About
socialization. Yeah. People say, well, aren't you worried about socialization? I'm like, thank you for asking me that question. I am so worried that I pulled my kids out of school. That's how worried I am about socialization. That's why I took my kids out of school. And so when people say salt and light, I'm like, that's exactly why I took my kids out of school. They're not ready to be salt and light. And when they are, they can do whatever God's equipped them and called them to do, and they'll be ready for it. Maybe they will go back into public school, but they'll go as a teacher. They'll go as an administrator. They're not going to be there as a student if I have anything to do with it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's so awesome. So you've hit on the salt and light. We've talked a little bit about some of the kind of excuses that parents give as to why they can't. And it really comes down, I believe, to selfishness, like the second car, the big house, right?
Yep.
And we've talked about, you kind of hit socialization. Okay, so one that I get a lot is, okay, so this is all great and fine, Heidi. I will keep them home. And then when high school comes, I really need them to be exposed to these things so that they can come back at the end of the day and we can talk through these things together, because otherwise I'm just going to send them out to the world completely ill-prepared for the things they're going to face. Someone actually said to me the other day, like, I want to know, I need to send my kids to high school so they can be offered a beer so that then they can come home and we can talk about it. Like that's the mentality. But how do you address this? Let's homeschool them up until high school and then let's send them so they can get a little exposure while they're still under the safety of my roof.
Well, I think there's two ways you can look at it. I mean, there's a negative way and a positive way, right? So the negative way would just be to say, your kids are going to be exposed to, you want them experimenting with drugs too? You're going to say, really want my kids to experiment with drugs? I really hope my kid experiments with sex so that by the time he gets to marriage, boy, he gets it. He really understands. You know, again, that is a basic misunderstanding of the danger that we're putting our kids in. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't understand that their minds are still being formed. I want my kids to be so well prepared that they are going to be when they finally, because they are going to get out onto the battlefield. Mm-hmm. They're not going to, I mean, half my kids are grown. I've got a daughter in her 30s. My kids are, they range in age from 30 to 10. Wow. I said that out loud. From 30 to 10. So most of my kids right now, four of our seven are in their 20s. They're in the world. My son's mm-hmm. working at Costco. I've got another one that works for Amazon. He's coming home all the time. And the things that happen at Amazon and the warehouse, I'll tell you what, that's a college education right there. But I'm not worried about him because he's 20 years old. He's been trained in righteousness. He knows right from wrong. This idea that your kids have to experience life in high school so they can experience life is so misguided. And again, it misses the mark. It doesn't understand the magnitude of the crisis that we're facing. The other thing I think, you know, people say, well, I don't have the money. Okay, so if you didn't have the money, let's say you're broke. Let's say you're broke and a pandemic comes to your school. I just love to go back to the pandemic because we're all familiar with it now, right?
Right.
A pandemic comes to your school and you go, yeah, I'd take you out, but I just can't afford to bring you home. No, you would go, I'm bringing you home. I'm going to
figure it out.
I'll figure it out as I go. And I'm always telling mm-hmm. parents, look, your worst day of homeschooling, and you will have some bad ones. But your worst day of homeschooling is going to be better than their best day in the public school.
That's right.
Because your kids are going to be taught that they're loved. They're going to be taught they have a creator. They're going to be taught they were created on purpose with a purpose. They're going to be taught the value of family. One of the right out of the Marxist playbook. I mean, we basically have Marxism in our country right now, which for people who aren't familiar, everyone's familiar with socialism because we all know, you know, Bernie Sanders, right? Marxism is violent socialism. Mm-hmm. That's all it really is. Marxism is socialism with a gun pointed at your head. That's what it is. And that is what we have on the streets of Seattle. That is what we have in Portland, Oregon right now. That is what we have all over the nation. And our kids are literally being trained into this sort of Marxist ideology, which turns them against their parents right out of a Marxist playbook, is to deteriorate the family.
That's right.
Well, what have we been doing for the last 100 years in this country? When we want our kids to learn about religion, we send them to the youth pastor. Yep. When we want our kids to learn spelling and math and history, we send them to the teacher. What are the parents doing except for going to work and making sure the kids have a roof over their head and making sure they get into soccer? It's ridiculous. It's like the things that matter the most, the value of family, the weaving of hearts together inside the home, which is the fabric of the society. Those things have been torn away now to such a point where children are more interested in their teacher's opinion than they are in their parents' opinion. And that has happened on the watch of parents who have ceded the education of their children to every person under the sun at the first chance they got. And now that were saying, sound the alarm, sound the alarm, sound the alarm. It's all, I mean, we're so far down the rabbit hole now that it's going to take a generation. That's why I said, I think these kids could be the reformers. But right now, these, my generation, your generation, these are the rescuers. And it may, we might even need two generations of rescuers. It might mean that our kid, that we rescue our kids and they continue the rescue process until reformation can happen. But we are in a crisis now, and it's worse than the Rona. And I, you know, I wish I could be nicer about it, but I'm out of nice words.
Well, we want truth right now. You know, as you were talking about the battle that's going on for the hearts and minds of our kids and in this school system and about them being salt and light, I was thinking of Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 really is the whole chapter. But I just pulled it up, and our family has worked to memorize through this whole section of scripture. But verses 12 and 13 say, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And that's exactly what's going on. And then verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. And that is the job that God has given us as parents, is to help our kids learn how to take up that armor of faith through the word of God, through prayer, through true training with a biblical foundation, a biblical worldview. And we're not doing that. Many parents are. And I'm so grateful for the parents who have taken that responsibility to train up the hearts and minds of their kids. But so many are not doing that. And there are many reasons why. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about that in just a minute.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
Do you love books, but sometimes feel overwhelmed at the sheer volume of titles that are out there? It's impossible to read everything. It's even impossible to keep up with what's coming out on any given week. There are so many publishers, genres, authors, and titles. Even good-sized bookstores can hardly keep up. So how do you know what's actually worth checking out? That's where Forma, a digital and print journal published by the Searcy Institute, comes in handy. Each week, they provide reviews of a carefully curated selection of new books, many of them lesser-known but important titles from lesser-known but important publishers. They'll suggest titles you won't want to miss, and sometimes they'll provide unique perspectives on books everyone is already reading. So if you'd like some help pointing you in the right literary direction, head over to formajournal.com for both free and subscriber content. You can even have weekly reviews delivered to your inbox. Again, visit formajournal.com. We are back with Heidi. So we're talking about parents, you know, why oftentimes parents don't take on that responsibility to train up their kids or to pull them out of public schools. And there are many reasons. It's scary. It's expensive. I think one of the reasons that we often see, in addition to the argument that our kids need to be salt and light, is that it's just straight up scary. We were not raised in a society where it was normal to have our kids out of school. You know, all of us were raised in a traditional school, whether private or secular. I know, Heidi, you and I grew up in private school. Abby grew up in a public school, but it was normal. And so when we had kids, it was normal that you just put your kids in school. Right. And it is a scary thing to do. Mm-hmm. So I want to, for this last half of this episode, I want to give hope to the parent who just says, you know, I want to,
but I don't know how. I don't know what to do. I don't have what it takes to get my kids out. And especially those who are, you know, maybe you're a single mom and you feel like you can't, you have to work to support your kids. And maybe you're working two jobs to support your kids, whatever the case may be. How can we bring encouragement to the mom and the dad who feels like we don't have what it takes. We can't do this homeschool thing. I'm glad that you can do it. I'm glad you feel smart enough and organized enough and all the things that you need to be to homeschool, but I don't have that. How do you encourage that parent?
Well, I think it's a misnomer to assume that everyone who homeschools feels equipped. I think when you say, oh, you know, like, I can't tell you how many times I've been mistaken for a woman with extraordinary patience, you know, taking my kids to like Walmart, you know, I mean, I have seven children. And so there are many years when I would go to the grocery store in the middle of the day and the checker would be like, oh, kids, why aren't you in school? Oh, we homeschool. And the guy would just look at us like we had six heads, or me in particular. And then I would inevitably hear, oh, I could never do that. I don't have that kind of patience. And I think I told you, Yvette, before, I just want to go, like, it's not about patience. I don't have the patience. I don't have that kind of patience. I don't have the kind of this extraordinary, administrative skills. I didn't even think I would be a good teacher. That's not what it's about. It's about recognizing that something needs to happen and I'm the one to make it happen.
Yep.
And so it's a matter of personal responsibility. You know, people have read Becoming Mom Strong or any of the books that I've written. Mm-hmm. I know I explained that there were months and months when our family was on food stamps that we went down to one car. We did all of those things so that I could stay home with our kids. And so it was an extraordinary sacrifice. And it's interesting now because as our kids will sit around the dinner table when everybody's all together, which isn't very often anymore, if you hear them talk about their growing up, particularly Savannah now, she's got three kids of her own. When you hear my kids talk about their growing up, they never mention the things that I thought they would be stuck on forever. Mm-hmm. I never hear them say, I remember when we didn't have we didn't have much food, or all of our clothes were hand-me-downs, or, you know, all of our furniture came from the Salvation Army, which it did.
Right.
We just loved it. We loved garage selling. It was fun. I mean, yeah. It was an adventure, you know? And so I think we have this this wrong idea about what it takes to homeschool. Right. I always tell people, you want to know what it takes to homeschool? It takes love. That's what it takes. Mm-hmm. Because love makes sacrifice. Love says, okay, I'm gonna give this up so that this can happen. It is a sacrifice. And so for us to pretend like it isn't, is not, it's dishonest at its root. And so I always think too, I wish someone had told me years ago, because we pulled our oldest daughter out of school after 2.5 years of public school. I wish someone would have told me how much life there was waiting for us. Mm-hmm. I would have been less scared. I wish someone would have said, this is going to bring you so much joy. You will never regret this. We have never regretted it, not a single time. And have there been days that have been difficult? Absolutely. Did we have to work really hard? Yes, we did. Did we go without? Yes, absolutely. Would I do it again? Yes, I would do it again. And I think people need to know how much joy there is in it. Yeah. You are going to find that this will draw you closer to your children, closer to the Lord. It absolutely will. And you are going to have stories to tell your children of the miraculous way that God provided for you when you chose to obey him and put your children above any other pursuit that you had. God will provide, and he will be the one that you look back at. I mean, I'm certainly doing it now, mm-hmm. looking back and just saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. The provision that God made for our family in times when there should have been no provision at all. And our kids have miracle stories to tell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we stepped out and said, Lord, we trust you. We trust you're going to make a way. And you know what? Here's how I know it's worth it for sure. And all seven of our children are walking with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Do we agree on everything? No. But none of my kids are socialists. I would just like to say that again. None of my kids are socialists. So I have one of my favorite t-shirts. It says, I'm just an ordinary mom trying not to raise communists, right? Well, when you're in Portland, this is a job, right? But our kids, the conversations we had around the dinner table, the opportunities, people say, well, I want my kids, like to Abby's point, I want my kids to go to school so they experience life. All you got to do is go to Walmart for your kids to experience life. Just go there. You know, this idea that somehow life happens outside of home is a lie.
Yes.
Life, the life that God has for you begins at home. Mm-hmm. It begins there. The foundation is there. The relationships are born there. The trust and the faith and the goodness and the things that you want to cultivate in your children, it all starts there. And either the parent, because people are going to make excuses, and we make excuses for all kinds of things, like I can't lose weight because blah, 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 blah. I can't, you know, pay my bills because da, 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 da. And I'm just like, okay, Lord, I can't actually do this homeschool thing. I can't homeschool seven children. And I literally can't keep houseplants alive. I've told you this before.
Yes.
When the Rona started, I did the thing. Like I bought like seven hanging baskets and I was like, this is the year. This is the year that I'm going to find my green thumb. This is it. No, every single one of them died. I tried everything. I took one back to the flower lady. I brought her my dead potted plant. And I said, listen, your plants are committing suicide on my back porch. And she picked it up. It was too heavy because I'd been giving it too much water. So apparently had root rot. I know that was a thing.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, honey, my plants are not killing themselves. You're murdering them. I was like, but the reality is, I don't care as much about my plants as I do about my kids.
Yeah.
If those plants were kids, I would figure it out. As it was, I was like, bummer, I'm never doing that again. I'm getting silk plants from now on. And that's what I'll do. But if it mattered, I would have figured it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And parents need to care about their kids enough to say, I want your adult life to be one that is rooted in stability and in the truth, so that when anything comes at you, I believe we're raising a very special generation of children. Yep. And it requires a very special generation of parents. Mm. Parents who are willing to sacrifice for their kids. Parents who are willing to say, this is going to be hard. I'm going to learn some new recipes. We're going to do a lot more crock pot cooking. We're not going to go out as much as we did. And besides, it's the Rona. No one can go out anyway. This is a great time to experiment with your crock pot. But just figuring out the new things and a new way of doing it. And I'm telling you, I promise you, as God is my witness, there is joy.
Yeah.
Joy is waiting. And it is a real joy. It's a lasting joy. And you will be able to look at your kids and say, I literally did everything that I could and mean it. And yeah. So I just think people can do it. And once you start, you're going to be hooked. That's what happened to me.
Yeah.
I went kicking and screaming into homeschooling. And is the best thing we ever did for our kids.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yep. You have no regrets. And that's the thing is, I've heard you say this, Heidi, and it's how we feel too. I want my kids to get to adulthood with as few regrets as possible.
Yes,
with
right.
me having as few regrets as possible and raising them, and with them having as few regrets as possible in the years that they grew up under my roof. But all by the grace of God. We can do this with the help of the Lord. We cannot do this on our own. We need the Lord to strengthen us, to give us wisdom. James says, if we ask for wisdom, he'll give it. And he does. And he's good and he's faithful. We're not doing this on our own. And I think that that's where so many people fail and they think, well, I can't do it. Yeah, you're right. You can't do it. Neither can I, neither can Abby, neither can Heidi. We cannot do this without the help and strength and power and wisdom of the Lord. But he is a God who sees us and he hears us and he knows our needs and he knows our kids. And he's going to give us everything we need to be able to accomplish what he has called us to. And that call is on every single parent. And yes. It's not an individual call like, well, Heidi was called to homeschool and Yvette was called to homeschool and Abby was, but I'm not. Nope. We are all called to raise up our children in righteousness, and we cannot do that when we are putting them in an institution that is teaching them everything that's contrary to the word of God.
Well, I think parents need to understand too that homeschooling doesn't mean you do everything by yourself.
Right.
So homeschooling does not mean you teach algebra, you teach chemistry, you teach, high school writing. It means that you know exactly who's teaching your child. And if you can't do it, you find someone you trust you can. Maybe you swap with another parent. Yeah. I mean, I did 1 year of biology. I ordered like a cat kit or whatever. Uh-huh. I'm never doing that again. Once was all it took. And I was like, I'm going to get myself a tutor. So that's what we did. We, from then on, they did biology at the homeschool co-op, and it might have maybe sent me back $50. I'd have paid $150. But I'm telling you what, you'll figure it out.
Yep.
And so I always feel like it's a good idea to like lift the burden of expectation off of parents who are looking at it thinking, this would make me my child's 100% full-time teacher. No, it makes you your child's 100% full-time parent.
Yep.
Mm.
And as the parent, then you say, okay, you need algebra this year. We're going to help you figure that out. And I mean, I've heard stories of people, having their neighbor come over and teach the kid algebra because he just loved it or whatever. I always use math analogies because math's what I'm always trying to get out of.
Right.
But I think parents need to understand, just because you homeschool your kids doesn't mean you're teaching them every single subject every single day. Yeah. It doesn't mean that they won't be socialized. It doesn't mean any of those things. That's what the world wants you to think. That's what I thought before I homeschooled my kids, before I realized, oh my goodness, this is so much different than how the world has framed it. And then it becomes more doable, because all of a sudden you think, oh, I don't have to do, you know, A, B, or C, or whatever it is. And so I think parents need to hear that.
Yep. Yep. And it's the body of Christ working together, just as God's called us to do in his word.
And we're not saying, like you just said, we're not saying you can't outsource, right? We're not saying you can't. But what we are saying is, as a parent, then you ensure that everything your kid learns is through a biblical worldview. So if you're going to outsource science to your neighbor, you ensure it's a biblical worldview, or as I like to say, it's truth. You're just teaching them truth. And we're also not saying that every homeschooled kid is going to choose to walk with Christ. And that's, we also need to say homeschool isn't, but here's the thing. At the end of the day, when I stand before God, I'm going to be able to say, I did what you called me to do.
Yep.
My child made their own choice, but I, God, did what you called me to do. And that is to teach and train up my child in your truth. And I think one of the number one things we can say when people go kicking and screaming and I don't want to, and we can't afford and this and that, line your heart up with God's. When you line your heart up with God's, you're going to have a drive, I believe, to want to raise your kids in truth, because that is God's heart and requirement for us as parents. So no, it's not easy. It is. You're listening to three homeschool moms sitting right here, and not one of us has said it's easy.
But it's worth it.
Every one of us has said it is worth it. It is worth it.
It absolutely is. So we are out of time. Heidi, you are such a blessing. Thank you so much for all that you do. Where can people learn more about you? Tell us about your podcast and your ministry and what you have going on.
Yeah. So it's hard to like encapsulate. It's like a little card. So I run an organization called Mom Strong International, and I think we're coming up on 18,000 people there now, just studying God's word. And we release Bible studies every single month, which has a component called Kids Strong, so that moms can teach their children what they're learning. So I have just this burning desire to see parents pass on the truth to the next generation. So that's at Mom Strong International. The Heidi St. John podcast airs 5 days a week now. And so that has just exploded, which is really fun. We run the Homeschool Resource Center, which is where I'm at, in the Portland, Vancouver metropolitan area. Last year, we had 215 families. Yvette, you would not recognize it. This year, we have 727 families.
That is an absolute work of God. Yeah, that's amazing.
It's amazing. This is part of the nonprofit that Jay and I founded 20 years ago called Firmly Planted Family. Mm-hmm. And the first weekend in January, actually, anybody who's interested in starting a homeschool resource center in their area, we are opening the homeschool resource center up for that weekend. People flying in from all over the country so that they can see what we're doing. And we're going to see about getting these planted in. If these were in major areas across the United States, I think we would see the rate of people pulling their kids out of school skyrocket, because this is like, you know, this is kind of like one stop shopping for homeschooling. So all those things, I don't know what else I do. I write books.
Lots of books. Becoming Mom Strong. We you know what? We will link to all of your books in the show notes, and we'll link to the podcast. If you guys don't listen to Heidi's podcast, you must. It is the one podcast that I listen to more than any other. Every week.
You get your news, you get your encouragement.
That's right.
You get the word.
You get wisdom. Yep. So I'll link to her podcast as well. What are the dates of the training that you're doing, or the information that you're doing for the Homeschool Resource Center? Do you know?
Yes. So January 8th and 9th. So it starts, I think that's Friday. I'm not looking at my calendar, but I think that should be a Friday night, January 8th. So it starts in the evening. So we'll go in the evening on Friday night, and then all day Saturday, and just give everybody just as much training as we possibly can.
Okay.
And we would like to see these in every city in the nation.
Yep. Well, we have spent quite a lot of time there, and I can say firsthand, it is absolutely incredible what the Lord has done through the St. John family and that Homeschool Resource Center. I mean, you guys are reaching lives even beyond the Resource Center. It's absolutely amazing. Are you, by chance, for people who are not able to fly to Vancouver, Washington, to be part of that, are you going to stream that? Is there a way to do that?
No. So this time, well, there's lots of different reasons, but we feel really strongly that in order for people to understand what we're talking about, they need to come and see it.
I agree.
So this is a physical location. The story of the location is amazing in and of itself, but I think people need to see it and kind of hear the heart behind it. And that way they'll know, okay, this is either something we think we can do or something that the Lord is, because it will be the Lord if he does it anyway. Yeah, so this time we're not going to, we want to meet people face to face. Besides, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for some like real life interaction.
Yes. Make sure you bring your mask and your 6-foot pole so you can social distance from Heidi, because she will not stand within 6 feet of you.
That's right. You know me. I'm all about the Rona.
She's going to go straight in for the hug. Let's be
honest. That's right. I just was in Kennewick last Friday night. 500 women in that room for a Christmas tea. Awesome. It was spectacular.
Amazing. I saw that. Yeah, well, you sent me the picture of it. That was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. Well, and I just think it goes to, you know, who do we trust?
Yeah.
You know, and I trust that my days have already been ordained for me. I'm not going to go play jacks in the freeway.
Right.
But I believe that my days were ordained for me before I took a single breath. That's the should be the motto of every believer. So,
yeah. That's right. So, well, Heidi, thank you so much. You're such a blessing. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
And
thanks for having me, you guys.
Absolutely.
I love it. Schoolhouse Rocked, my favorite people. I love it.
Thank you. All right. We will talk to you guys later. Have a fantastic rest of your day. Bye.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.